Call me old man Waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade.
Yeah. And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Film, the Lord of
Laughter.
Old Man Wade. I'm sitting with my lovely wife, the Valkyrie.
Hey.
With her normal enthusiasm. To my right, we got the CEO of PandaCare.
Hey.
With her, I don't know. To the right of her, we got the venomous one.
Yes, sir.
And to the right of her, back by popular demand. How do we say? She's knocking through the side door.
She's healing.
Kicking the back door
now.
Honey. Kicking the back door.
Yes.
I don't know. Considering the conversation we just had, is kicking in the back door an option?
Oh, no.
And that was a question, too. I was like,
stop it.
No. Yes.
No. She's healing the doors, honey.
That's right.
She's healing the doors.
Mark, you didn't say my name.
Carmen! I'm sorry, I'm writing healing the back door. I'm trying to
heal. I can't leave the back door.
The best part about it is I've noticed that people like sexual innuendos with the titles tend to do the best. Maybe we should just start calling every episode sex. And even though it'll have nothing to do with sex, I'm just like, this episode is called sex.
And then they'll say, oh, let me see what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Filthy heathens, that's why.
Filthy heathens.
Yeah.
I am a changed woman.
Not me.
I can change. You're a filthy heathen?
Yeah, if you ask Chrissy, she'll tell you.
Who's Chrissy? Oh, yeah.
Chrissy done caught me getting down on her stoop, so.
Stop it. She was dancing. Not that kind of
thing. Oh, no. I was going to say, she's still alive?
I was about to say, oh, my God.
Right? I was like, what were you doing on the front porch?
Not that kind of get down.
Listen, I didn't know it was that.
I've been around some of Amanda's like parties. I wouldn't be shocked if there was.
Listen.
Has it ever happened?
No.
That she knows of.
Yeah. Oh, man.
There was a random girl left in her driveway one time, though.
There was?
Yep. That time on your birthday and Derek came upstairs and he left the girl.
Oh, yeah.
She was passed out in the car for hours.
That birthday.
I went downstairs like, is she?
Like, hold on, there's somebody in your car? Yeah, she wanted a ride, but I wasn't ready to go home yet. Yeah. Left her in the car asleep.
Right, from the club to her house.
Yeah.
And homegirl was passed out the whole time. I went downstairs like.
Whoa. He knew her or no?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just some stranger. He was like, you know.
But she was dumb enough to stay.
Yeah.
Right?
Dumb.
No comment.
And you just told me I was
those
bad.
Those were no, the bad. Days.
I was never that bad. I was never that much of an asshole. I was just completely honest about what I did. And sometimes I did it in a dicky way.
Yeah.
So speaking of, since we're on the topic of sex, I thought this would be an appropriate conversation. Do you know what incels are?
No.
Incels?
We have to ask the nurse.
Oh, no, it's not a thing. It's
not nothing medical.
I was about to say.
I ain't never heard of that.
Ever. What is it?
An incel, I'm looking up the actual dictionary. An incel is short for involuntary celibates. Are members of an online subculture who define themselves as unable to find a romantic or sexual partner despite desiring a state they describe as insolidum. Insolidum? I guess.
What?
So basically, it's
they feel like they're forced into celibacy.
Can't they just bang each other?
They could, but then it would be gay, and then they're gay because, you know.
Oh, it's men.
It's men.
Oh, it's like one of those male, like, bashing, like, women groups?
Yes.
Well, according to Tank, you can suck a man's dick twice and not be gay.
First of all.
If you are the giver and not the receiver.
Wait a minute.
You're not gay.
First of all.
you didn't hear about that?
You know Tank's what?
Right.
You don't
want to
know,
do
you?
I don't want to know because I love Tank. You know, and I just don't want to be tarnished And he tarnished. Let me tell you, this is not the first time he said something questionable like that. So I done already chalked it up to old Tank's done something.
Yeah, I think
he done added a little sugar to his tank and tried to balance it out with some salt.
Bisexual, bicurious, all that stuff. But just to be like, you're heterosexual and you sucked a man's dick twice.
Oh no, you.
Wait, but did he say he did that?
He's not saying he did it, but
he's saying that I understand.
He's saying that it doesn't make you gay.
I'm gonna say that he was under the influence when he said that. Because I love him with all my.
You can still addicted. Love him. He's addicted.
I'm not taking it.
You likes a dick ting.
You're not gonna take it because he's gonna give it.
He likes one dick tings, two dick tings. He gonna stop before he gets to the third one. What's but it was a dick tings.
What is the joke? What got into you addicted?
That's just like not there was mood. This debate about if is a man considered gay if a woman is. Doing it with like a strap, yeah. If she's banging him with a strap on, does that make him gay because it's not another man doing it? I'm sorry, that's an exit only zone. If you decide to take that and you are of the male species, I feel like you're gay.
Yeah.
So I will say this, I disagree. Only because maybe he doesn't want. All right. Example, you never heard the phrase a mouth to mouth?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm not kissing a dude. That's just not my thing. Mm-hmm. If I was desperate, I wouldn't even let dude suck my dick. I have a thing with mouths. That's just my personal thing. So if someone can say, well, a mouth to mouth is not gay. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute. A man, two men kissing?
No.
Like with females.
Like, so, like, you've never heard a phrase, like, if some dude, like you know, oh, this guy sucked my dick, and they were like, what? I'm not gay, a mouth is a mouth.
Yeah, oh, and with females too. Mm-hmm. If they let another female
go down on them, they'll be like
a mouth to mouth. I'm not a lesbian. She just.
So my point being is that you may not want a guy to penetrate your butthole, but you might want a woman to penetrate your butthole.
I'm with Steph. I'm sorry.
But it's like you're entertaining the idea, no matter like who's doing it. Just you know, the act of it happening is the same act, no matter who's doing it.
I mean, I think one thing I learned for men there what
your G spots in your butthole
is in your butthole, and so it could not necessarily be wanting the penetration of the butthole, but wanting the penetration of my G spot.
So, all right, if this is too much information, I apologize. When I got my vasectomy, the doctor said you have to jerk off an X amount of times to make sure the tank is clear, so there's no leftover sperm cells. Mm-hmm. And the first time I jerked off, I kind of felt a tug in the butthole, and I was like, "Oh, that's what they mean." But I was like, "Yeah, still no." You know what I mean? And I've had friends who are like, yeah, like just like they like a finger in the butt.
They call
good.
It milking too. It's
yes.
Like, milking.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yes, I know it's a thing. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying I agree with Stephanie. That if you ask me to put a strap on to do you.
Maybe you want a pair of tits on your back.
That's
it. Maybe you want a pair of tits on your
back.
Let
me put my tits on your back. A man can strap on a pair of tits.
Yeah, I'm moving on.
Yep,
moving
not a problem.
On.
We can
I'm
move.
Moving on.
I'm just gonna agree to disagree on this.
I'm gonna lose some. Charmaine, I'm sorry. She listens. I'm sorry. But it's just so. The reason I bring it up is there's a sect of people of men who think that they're deserved sex.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that this excess?
The incels.
Incels.
You can call them excels. Fuck them niggas. But it's just funny that so just three women in here. And we had a conversation about you, about, like, you know, like, your worth and, like, not accepting mediocrity mm-hmm. and things like that. And I know the two of you, you're not just giving it up to just anybody. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about, I'll start with you, how do you feel about a guy saying, like, they deserve sex because they're men?
I think they're full of shit. But, I mean, they're entitled to their opinion.
Are they really, though? Yeah. In a situation like that, that's like saying I should be able to force myself on someone and it'd be okay. That's rape. That's illegal. That's disgusting.
It is, but he's not acting on it. He's just saying he thinks he deserves it, and that's great that you think that way.
Do you think a man deserves sex just for being a man?
I think we should all be having wonderful sex because we are humans.
Stephanie? Okay. I'm saving karma for last. I feel like I should be recording her comments. So a guy, okay.
Go ahead.
A guy comes up to you. You guys are having a great night. And let's say you guys were Dutch, you know, you each pay for your own thing or whatever, like, the night goes good, and he was like, oh, I should be able to fuck just because, you know, I'm a guy.
Fuck no. Like, first of all, no, that's, because you feel like you're entitled to something doesn't mean that's what it is. Like, you can have your own personal beliefs and, you know, hold yourself to these standards to where I deserve. But if I'm not a, if I'm not a consenting party, then no, you are not entitled to me. That, like, if it's not a mutual feeling, no, you can feel however you want to feel. But the minute you feel like it's your duty to just put yourself on me,
that's when it's a
problem. That's when you lose your life. Like, that's just not, that's not how it's going to go. Like, you can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm not here to tell you what is right and what is wrong. But for me, in my personal being, in my space, that's just not going to fly.
Okay. Carmen?
I think when I hear a comment like that, you always have to think of where did the thinking come from. Because I don't think, realistically, men, depending on how they were upbringing, but raised with respect and to treat women as valuable would not say that. So right. If you come from a place in life where maybe your mom treated you as if you was the prince of Zamunda, or, you know, or like, and I know many men who, many families where the boys and the men are raised as if, you know, they are deserving of everything, they can do no wrong, so then you grow up with that sense of entitlement, right? And so I can see, to me, I can come from a place of empathy of hearing a man talk like that, because I would just say, so I'm sorry that you feel that way. And, you know, what makes you believe that? You know, tell me a little bit about your family. Tell me about your mom. Were you an only child?
Okay, you got a whole therapy session.
I mean,
she's a change.
I mean, when you think about it, someone who thinks like that, who would say something like that, is in their head, right? Yeah. They're totally in their head. It's not very realistic, right, to think like that. However, these thoughts came from somewhere. You didn't just grow up and say, I'm entitled to sex. Like, you may have grown up with entitlement. But then when you think about a woman who may believe them, or who may say, okay, then you have to think about her history, too. So, yeah. I think a little while ago, I said, you know, I've never done anything in my life that was just for me, right? Like, everything I've done has been to take care of other people. So, growing up, one, in my family, being taught that it, as a woman, it's my role to take care of my man, right? Whether or not I'm tired, I don't want to, I was raised as a caregiver. Yeah. And so, I would, if I was in a relationship, believe my man and say, you're supposed to have sex with me because I'm your man. In the past, I would have complied with that because he's right. Like, that's my responsibility as a woman. But also experiencing trauma and not knowing boundaries, for me, there was no boundaries when it came to men. So a man could easily trick my mind like that into believing, yes, I am supposed to have sex with
this because person. Of the way you were raised.
And because of the way I was raised, because of my trauma, because of just life experiences. So I think, you know, sometimes people say shit that makes you go, yo, you're off your rockers, right? But also to just take a step back and say, you know, where did that thinking come from? I would love to know more about why you feel that you are that level of deserving of my body.
That leads to another question. Like, what did your upbringing lead you to believe, like, your sexual, I guess, identity would be? Like, you know what I mean? So, like, for Carmen, it's correct me wrong, it was more subservient to the person you're dating. Like,
absolutely.
How does that affect your upbringing, affect your sex life?
I never really thought about it, only because my household consisted of a single mom who was always strong. She rarely, if ever, brought men around. So it was like, you know, we really didn't see her in, like, that relationship, like, not until later in life when she got married. And even then, it was like, she was still this strong, independent woman. And it's like, you know, she would do little things around the house, but it wasn't outside of things that she normally did. It's not like she was waiting on him hand and foot. It's like, oh, okay, I'm cleaning the house because I normally clean the house. I'm doing laundry because I normally did laundry. It wasn't, no, oh, I'm serving you, or, you know, I'm doing this because you are my significant other. It just fell in line with her usual routine.
So for me, it was like I grew up in this strong woman frame of mind. And so even like in relationships, it was always like, you know, you do you, I do me. And if we, where we meet is some type of common ground, then fine. But I'm not going to rely on you to do anything.
We've had this conversation, I think, personally, like, via, like, text messaging about, like, just, like, the, like, how your upbringing affects, like, your life as an adult. But I don't know if we've, and I know this is something we want to talk about in the pod, I'm not sure if we did, but how did, like, your mom's, like, super religious and...
She's super religious now, she wasn't always.
But, how, so how did, like, I guess, like...
Well, Christmas gives it on the tables.
Nigga, yeah. And then coming home to having a bucket next to her bed. Sorry, with the door closed and the curtains shut. Yeah. Don't come in her room. My mom wasn't always in the church. But it depends. So at home, it was, you can do bad by yourself, a.k.a. don't date. For my grandmother, when I was at her house, it was more of, you take care of him. You need to learn how to cook, or you won't keep a man. You need to learn how to clean, or you won't keep a man. So that drove me away from wanting to learn how to cook, because I just felt like, if he has arms, why can't he cook?
Yeah, I've actually heard you say that a million times, like when, like, when your kids ask them, like, you got arms?
Right. Like, that completely turned me off, and I didn't want to learn how to do anything to keep a man, because I felt like I was a prize and he should be trying to keep me. I still somewhat feel that way, and we should be working together to keep each other, not me doing everything so I can keep you. Like, you didn't fall out of God's asshole for me to worship you. Like, I don't understand. Because you just...
What if it was Teddy's asshole?
Whoever's. I just, I don't know. So growing up, it wasn't anything. To me, neither one of them gave me a positive example of wanting to be, I don't know, with a person.
You ever dated a cornball?
Possibly.
Man, listen.
A ton.
What makes a corn? What makes a guy a cornball?
Well, at what stage? At this stage in life or in the past?
Blah. Let's go with now, considering like we're in a...
As all of my now, 30s now, right? Yeah, 30s hitting close to 40s. As of right now, 30. I think a cornball is a person that if they have a kid, they don't take care of them. So deadbeat dads are cornballs to me. If you're always on social media posting money or smoking, I think that's cornballish. I just feel like that's stuff adolescents do when you're a teenager or your early 20s. Why are you in your 30s, close to hitting 40s, and smoking? Like, who cares? You smoke, yay. You want a certificate? I don't understand. Dudes who do hookah on social media drives me nuts.
So, I have a question. So, I was listening to the show, and it kind of... It goes along.
Oh, footsies.
I want to join. Sorry.
Do I need to cut this off?
No, 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 no.
I mean, I can get a camera. I just... Oh, man.
You know how much money you could make off of that, first of all?
That's a market. No. They are not worthy because they're men.
Stop. You missed this episode I did when we were trying to talk. My wife was trying to talk these two women into... selling their feet like online, because like
that's a thing
and my wife would make the greatest madam of all time.
She probably would. I can see it. I can too.
I told her that too. She need to become a madam. But like, so when I say cornballs, like, if I don't mean like yes, a deadbeat dad, that's not cornballs. That's something beyond cornballs. You have a kid, take care of your kid, that's just the way it should be. I mean, in a sense, like someone would call me a cornball, because like, you know, I'm a dork. I don't fit the description of a quote unquote black guy. Like, I like comic books. I like rock music. I like doing things.
There's
like,
a lot of black nerds.
Yeah, but to a lot of people, that's corny. But cornball.
So I guess to everybody, cornball.
I mean, I would say cornball may look different to some people. Like for me, a cornball is someone who just doesn't have his shit together. Period. Someone who's relying on someone else for their everyday survival and thriving. A man that doesn't have his own, that can't, you know, say, hey, I got this, I'm doing this, I have my own, to me that's corny. Especially at this age, if you have no footing, you're a cornball.
What would be no footing?
No footing. No job. No. No ride. No apartment.
All right, I got 2 out of 3 I'm good at.
But you know, but like no footing. Like, you know, I stay with my mom. You know what? I almost said something. God
It's like you just have no foundation. Like
you have no foundation.
Right. Your own.
I almost said something real ugly.
And you know the thing is,
thank you God for checking.
And the thing is, like, everybody goes through their stuff. So you know, if it's like a temporary situation, but you're working towards getting yourself out actively, like you're passionately doing something to better yourself. I can't knock you for that.
But if you're just comfortable,
right? If you have no drive, no ambition, no nothing, and you're stuck where you're at, and you're constantly blaming other people or other situations, right? Like or blaming social status on you not doing what you need to do for yourself
or your baby mama,
right? That's real cornball stuff right there. Like I can't respect it, and I'm not going to deal with it. Like that means it to some capacity. You're going to expect me to enable you just like everybody else around you has. Mm-hmm. I already got a child. I don't need that shit.
That's a combo.
So basically it's a matter of just like not living like your age, and like at some point you really just kind of
aspiring to
not trying to grow.
To do something with yourself, to make a statement in this world, to leave a legacy.
Right. Wallowing in your current situation without trying to find any way out, that's some cornball shit.
So why do certain men look at other guys as cornballs? Because like they're not living the stereotypical man life. Why
What's is that the stereotypical man life?
You can't cry. You can't have emotions. Like you should be bedding down.
I think it's jealous. I think it's other men who call men that are okay with showing up and showing their emotions. I think it's jealousy because they have not found a way to be themselves.
Right.
They have not found a way to let their pain out, to talk about how they feel. And to me, that's true weakness, is when you really have to live up to these societal expectations to be considered a man. You're weak. I want a man that can say, babe, that hurt me. Or, I'm feeling a lot of pain right now. I'm feeling emotional and I just need to talk, or I need to be alone. A man that can't do that is just filling up with gas inside, and it's gonna blow eventually.
Yeah. If you're stuck within those generational curses, then that's gonna make you worse off than this person who has learned to thrive beyond it.
Right. They I think it's jealousy. Honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dig it. All right. I'm gonna take a quick break, and we're gonna come back with the Venomous Corner.
My thick skin, cause they gon' blast you for your ashiness and ugliness. But got no words when you be basking in your loveliness. Stone sticks, nah, they just loading lips with hatred on a holotip to rat attach your confidence. Pull up to your trophy case and flap at your accomplishments. So serenade them with grenades of accolades. They got Mac and leather mouths and they tongues 12 gauge. That deflect what they're projecting and subject them to my Luke Cage rage. If that's what it's gon' take, they thinking you ain't bred for this. They praying that you break. Haters will say a lady ain't the greatest tennis player after 20 plus grand slams later, they still shade her. The basis, her gender, a racist agenda. Perplexed by her complexion, but she's built for this. I'm flexing with Serena's demeanor. That's why I keep me a Nina, but not the strap. I actually meant the soul of a singer. Cause I refuse to leave bleeding. If I'm bleeding on the leaves, I got a sharpie to a sheet and I'm skinning a 16. Set a writing utensil on fire, press it against you. Quarterize the wound, fortify the living tissue. The rubber glue rhetoric is way too simple. See, my words don't stick.
And we are back at the old man Wade show. This is the ladies' lounge. I haven't done one of these in a long time. Hopefully, we'll get more of these more often because I actually like the idea. I did an episode with Amanda, Shanice, my wife Valkyrie, Javi, me, and Greg, and it was kind of cool just to kind of have like a panel of like three women, three men to kind of like. Talk about some things. It was six different opinions and everyone was talking about it. But I also like the ladies' lounge because the women in my life are very vocal. They're very opinionated. And I like the fact that they're like, you guys aren't going to pull your punches and shit like that. So I appreciate that. So I like the fact that we have this. But the Venomous one over here posted something on IG. I want to say like Monday or Tuesday. And I was like, yo, what you up to Friday? And so I was like, come in and do a segment. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Venomous Corner.
Okay, so it's all about vibe check. I'm a big fan of Derrick Grace, who is a young African-American man who is trying to break the financial generational curse in his family. So with that, he believes in, you know, the power of gold, money without financial institutions, and guns. If you ask him, that is what America is built on, and that is what black people need to take control of. So he has daughters, I believe, three of them. Well, four now. And, you know, he teaches them how to shoot and all of this other stuff, and he's really big on being self-sufficient. And so he made a post, and he said, "Pussy comes in droves." He said, "Can you make him smile, make him eager to attack the next day, feel empowered, speak life into him, teach him, hold his attention through convo only. Find out what differentiates you from the masses and let your strength draw him, not just the ass." So he'll be the first person to tell you that he loves strip clubs, pornography, anything that women choose to do or use their bodies to, you know, make their means. He doesn't put it down or anything. But it's like, you know, we just had a conversation about what makes a man a cornball. And now if you reverse it back, it's like, what type of things make women cornballs? You know, everybody lives in the times now of social media and, you know, seeing all of these Instagram models showing their ass and getting booked for postings. And it looks like, you know, they're making a bunch of money. And
they,
you know,
all they look the same.
Right. Mm-hmm. The porcelain body, the standard, big ass, small waist.
White women,
like, you know,
trying to be black.
Right.
Oh my God! Did I just say something about that? About, like, you get like
they all try to pretend they have ass, they don't.
Know. Not even just ass, like the lip, like this. Like,
oh yeah, man. The injection. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you look stupid.
Right. So now it's all about a vibe check. Like, what are you bringing to the table? Have you gotten yourself together? Like, for me as a woman, you know, I feel like, in some ways, I'm ready for a relationship and, you know, to have a companion. And then in a lot of ways, I'm not. And so it's like, but I am aware of that. And yes, I'm a curvy girl. I can flaunt this curve, flaunt that curve, and have guys, you know, interested in that aspect. But what am I doing to actually hold them? Is that ultimately what I want? Is that what I'm drawing to? Is what I'm drawing to myself at that moment in time going to be there long term? And it's not. It's really not. And so it's like, it's always good to take a step back and evaluate where you're at. And you know, you might look at yourself and be like, damn, I'm doing some cornball shit. Like, how can I,
just from the outside look, just from a guy's perspective, what are some symptoms or like some I guess some clues to a cornball woman? What are some things you could, like, a guy could, like, who's looking for a good woman, who's looking for someone who's going to, like, empower them as much as they empower the woman they're with? What are some symptoms or some signs that you could tell a guy, like, watch out for this because they're cool?
A woman who's always broke?
Yeah. If she doesn't have any type of financial responsibility, that's no good. If she's in the club Sunday to Sunday, you know, popping bottles all week long, and she got kids at home, that's a problem.
But also, she's always talking about, oh, I don't have money for this. Like, and women, there were a lot of women who will really just try to see what type of man you are, right, whether or not they have money. And but it's not about them being broke. It's about them claiming broke. And so for women, it's always saying, oh, you know, I have to take care of this. And it's really trying to say, how much will this man do? And because, right, like, most women are looking for men who can pay bills and right, who can take care of things. And if you walk upon a woman like that, be warned. Like, you are walking with a cornball. And run.
Yeah. Or someone who can't keep information within the relationship. Like, if you always got to run to your friends and tell them every little thing that's going on. Like, you know, you're taking your business to the streets versus trying to sit down with your partner and understand them and see where they're coming from and try to kind of align yourself with their way of thinking and have a decent conversation. Like, that's some real cornball behavior. Like, you know, it's one thing to be like, you know, girl, this is what's going on right now. You know, trying to get a different perspective, but running every little thing that's happening between you and that person or somebody else, and then it's like, it makes it awkward. Or like, if they put you on hold, like, hold on, I'm going to call such and such and get their opinion. Like, no, that's not needed. Or someone who's always, you know, seeking some type of outside approval. Like, if they bring you around, like, if you can't have just one-to-one time, like, someone else always has to be there. And it's always like, oh, well, my friend's coming along, so, oh, and once that person gets there, like you said, oh, you're going to pay for their stuff, too? Or you're going to, like, you know? Like, those are some things.
But there are also men who are so okay with that because that allows them to control that woman.
There's also the really insecure men, like, or the tricks, who are just like, the only reason this people will bless you, will spend this time with me is because they're giving them monetary gain. Right. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, what is it? Like, you're in their phone as food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're in their phone as, like, dick.
Card note, right. Weave. Nails. All of it. I mean, it's unfortunate because just like men play on women's insecurities, women play on men's insecurities.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And, you know, I think often that goes ignored, that there are women out here that are doing the absolute same thing as some of these men are doing.
There's no science behind this, but do you think there's like men who do it more than women, or do women do it more than men?
I think it's equal.
Yeah, that's hard to say because the only thing from my own experience, the only thing is most women can hide it easier.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's not as noticeable. I mean, I've played the shit out of some men. Right?
What the nigga? Right. Like a dog.
I done played them like a piano, you know? At the end of the day, they never felt played. I never allowed them to feel like they were unworthy, but they never knew. You know, where there are some men who will really just get what they want. You don't hear from them for a few days. They ignore you. And then they pop back up like, oh, you know, I've been going through some stuff. Like, you know, women know how, most women, I know how to do it well. You know, so nobody ever feels hurt.
Right.
I'm hurting you, but I don't want you to feel hurt.
But you know, the thing is,
Hit the break. We're going to acknowledge what you just said. You pretty much said some Ike Turner shit. I slapped you. I didn't really slap you.
Yeah.
I gave you the white part of my hand.
Yeah, that was a lot of time.
Yeah.
I gave you the white part of my hand.
What the fuck? Yeah.
That's your girl. That's what you know.
That's my cousin.
You
know it.
But I'm not like that no more.
But you know, the thing is, times have changed in the sense that back then, it used to work that way.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, pussy controls everything right now. That these younger niggas, they don't mind getting played. They're like, I don't care.
I got some hands in
the like, yep. She could be out there with this nigga. Yeah, I'm going to pay for her hair and nails and shit. But when she come home, she come home to me. Or, you know, she going to call me when she want me to hit. And it's just like, no. Like, you got
like
different.
Anyone who thinks like that, though, is insecure.
Yeah, like.
Anyone who thinks like that, these dudes
don't realize, like, I know a young lady and, you know, she does her thing. I ain't knocking it. Girl, Tasia does it. You know, you get what you want out of it. But it's just like, yeah, I got a nigga. I only let him eat me. And he, you know, he always come through. He'll pay a bill here and there. But he ain't allowed the fuck. He just gives me head. And I'm just like.
And he's good with that?
Apparently, because he ain't going nowhere. Just to say that he has that access to her.
But my thing is also clearly neither party values themselves.
Right.
Right? Because for a woman to say, oh, I let this nigga eat me and he pays the bill, you're a prostitute, honey. You are a prostitute.
Okay.
I have been a prostitute. We just gonna say what it is, right? Like, At the end of the day, if you are doing sexual favors for bills, for hair, for money, anything monetary, that's prostitution. You can jazz it up.
It's the oldest profession
right,
in the world.
Right. You can jazz it up, put some earrings on it. I don't care.
And that's what the old man weighs,
right.
Yo.
I don't care how
you
pretty
jazz
you make
it
look.
On it.
Yeah.
It is what it is, you know, and to each his own. But at some point, that's not living. That's not life, right? You're living on survival, getting your coochie ate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the long end of it.
I mean, if I can live just getting my dick sucked, I mean.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what the time is.
Remember how we were talking about relationships and ups and downs?
Hold on. Time out. Hit the brakes. After everything she said, I said... said I could live getting my dick sucked, getting paid for it, that was the thing over the top. Yeah. I just want to point it out here, all right? I'm just going to... So, Stephanie, as you were, there was more to it, I'm assuming. No more ladies' lounge, man. Gang up on the cornball.
You're so stupid. You're on the cornball.
All that to say, value yourself. Learn yourself. Figure out that niche or that, you know, that shimmer that you have within that you can use to your full potential. Keep them wanting to come back for more intellectually, spiritually. Align yourself in ways that will benefit you in the long run, because your body ain't going to last. The porcelain's going to become cement. Like, it's just, it's, do better.
What's your spark, Amanda? What is your spark? Like, what's your...
Your spark?
This bitch got the gift of gab.
Yeah, don't let her fool you.
And persuasion.
For real.
Have you ever seen her talking to a man? Shoot. So, you know, you have really... You know, this is some shit that her and Alfred do.
Like, you know, you have really nice eyes. How was your day today?
Oh my god. Are you Alfred?
What do you oh, they're the same person.
Like, they are the same person.
And I know Alfred got the gift of gab.
They will come to you. They'll get engaged. The eye contact, the tones of the voice.
Making you feel special. That, I see.
Oh, baby. Throw them up on the pedestal. Just to get them involved. Just to be like, oh, well, you know, I have to go now. But, you know, keep that thought.
Alfred and Amanda could sell dehydration to a man in the desert. Hey. I'm not knocking it. It's just...
I'm like,
who
y'all then?
You know what? I like... Alfredo Allen is our father.
Brother?
And we get it from him. Alfredo Allen is our father. And we get it from him. Okay?
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, we like to make people feel special and wanted and... Et cetera.
To quote a great philosopher, nigga.
How you know my daddy?
I'm actually her. Oh man. So what's yours, Stephanie? What is your like your all spark? That's a Transformers reference for those who don't know.
Probably my realism. Like just. I don't know, because my tolerance is not, my patience is kind of thin. So it's like, either you heal or you not. So it's like, you're doing something, if you're not consistent, it's like, what's up? And then if you can't, all right, I'm done. And then it's like, well, damn, she's not chasing, she's not doing this. So I'd be trying to make a U-turn, but I'm already like, no.
Does it ever, and this is, and I'll ask the question, I go back around. So what would yours be?
My motto is become the love you want to attract. And
which goes back to the conversation we had earlier.
Yeah, so for me, it's just loving myself. Like, that is my spark. The way I love on myself, the way I talk about myself, the way I feel about myself. I love me so much, how could you not? Is all it is. Like, when I look at me, I say, who? Anybody who don't love all of this is a damn fool, because I am so in love with this. And by because of that radiance and how much I love myself, that's what you fall in love with. And you should aspire to fall in love with someone who loves themselves that much.
You're so ridiculous.
I truly believe
that this way is like you're teaching them.
No, but I truly believe, right, like at the end of the day, the way you treat people how to treat you by the way you treat yourself. And so if you really haven't learned how to completely love on you, you can't expect someone else to do it.
Right.
And that's how I feel.
I wholeheartedly disagree with that. Mm. We can have that conversation later, but I wholeheartedly disagree because I am still in the process of loving myself on even like a 10% level. But like, I love my wife with what little 10% that I have of myself. So I disagree with that vehemently.
But I will tell you, when you get to that next level, you will love her so much differently. I promise.
I do.
You.
I love. And
she'll you know, you're not there yet. How do you do?
Right? I jumped to step 12.
Right.
I said that too.
You're not there yet.
Because I was like, you know why? Because I was like,
don't tell her I don't love
because,
her.
Because a little while ago, I was at 5%.
Yeah.
And then when I gained that other, when I started gaining it little by little.
Right.
You start realizing other things that, about yourself. You start realizing other things that you love about yourself.
Yeah, right. But the more you love on yourself,
the more you're really able to love somebody.
So trust me, when I get to 100%, she won't divorce me. She's gonna get the fuck away from me.
I'm telling you. You know what I? And I was saying this like before I learned how to love myself. I thought I was loving people, but I wasn't. I was just taking care of them. I didn't even love my own kids. When I learned how to love myself, that's when love for my kids poured.
Mm. How does this is something that actually a conversation that was actually on here on the docket was about like you know getting out of like negative spaces or dark spaces because I was a terrible one a couple weeks ago that I couldn't get out of like I was like isolated like and I didn't know what it was like people like I couldn't even get out of bed and I was like yeah I kind of understand what it's like so. With that, like, the whole, like, not loving yourself, what do you do to, like, get out of, like, that space? Like, how to, like, it's difficult to smell. There really is no easy answer to it.
Right.
Because someone, like, some people will say, oh, smoke something, drink something, go exercise. And it's not necessarily always that easy. But mm-hmm. we have five people in the room right now, and I figure five different answers may help somebody else. So, Valkyrie, what do you do to get out of your darker places or like when you're feeling like negative or things like that?
I mean, I'm trying to think because okay so it's a hard question for me to answer because I deal with things a lot differently than most people do. I can kind of have something happen and let it go like hours later if I have to, or I'm like the type of person that if you bring negativity to me, especially now, like I'm done. I don't even care. So like I don't really.
But not even just like people, but like let's say like something happens or.
Sometimes something don't even have to happen. Sometimes it just falls on
you. Yeah.
So how would you you bang your toe and then like your day's ruined. Like how do you get out of that funk? Like how would you get out of it?
I don't really feel like I get into that.
You don't.
So I'll take, for example, when I got the diagnosis, right? It was like a blessing and a curse all at the same time. And I explained it to him. So I have an autoimmune condition that's fairly rare, took a long time, blah, blah, blah. No.
This is her shitty exposed piping.
So like,
which sounds like a porno.
So like with that, I literally just had to go through the grieving process. Like mm-hmm. I like cried by myself because I'm not like one of those people that needs to cry in front of everybody or put all my business out there. I talked to you about it as much as I could, and then I kind of kept to myself because I knew I was in a bad space. And I didn't want to put that on anybody else until I was able to deal with it myself.
So you go with
the And then more, one day I was just fine. I don't know, like, I just, I don't.
So you go with the more, like, I guess, step-by-step logical, like, way of doing
it. I guess so. Like, I'll work it out in, I guess, in my own mind. And then, like, I can usually just either, like I said, I'm either done with something or I'm not. And I either move past it or.
But do you internalize it at all, or?
I don't feel like I do. I'm pretty fucking verbal. And
that's not even a strong enough phrase.
No, like people know when I'm mad. I can't hide it. Like my face is. There's no hiding it. Like if you do something that pisses me off, you're gonna see it on my face. Like I don't.
Not like me. If anyone knows me, like I don't wear my lotions on my sleeve. But you'll never tell when I'm upset.
You don't wear the lotion either. But you know that's a whole other story.
I am ashy.
Speaking of, no, I'm just kidding. Speaking of salty. And so I don't, like, I guess I don't know how to answer that question because, like Carmen always has a beautiful, well-thought-out haiku that makes you feel good about yourself. Or you'd be like, damn, how does she get to that? Or like, I don't got anything like that to say. I'm like, I just deal with that shit because I'm used to it and I push back and move on. I don't know.
Okay, can you give Carmen a sunset name?
She does. She always has something enlightening. She talks, it's beautiful, too. Like, it's like so, it's always like very positive, very nice. Like, I guess I'm, I mean, I could probably use some of that.
Amanda, you know why I talked about me like that?
What? Shut up.
So Amanda, how do you like, what it's like, what do you do, like how, what are some things that you know, like you think like work with you when like you're, when you're feeling like that?
Nothing, I just have to go like,
like, you know, like I don't know, like well, you're not really, well, you're, you have a gift of gab, but you're not necessarily a talker, I guess would be the best word.
If anything, I just want to be around people.
Is it, so basically, like, the positive vibes and energy kind of, like, puts you in a better mood and...
Mm-hmm. No, it wouldn't put me in a better mood. It just helps me not think of it at the moment.
So, almost escapism, but not, like... But it's funny, you deal with this stuff, though, which is always, like, something I've noticed. Like, you don't, like, just kind of, like, just go, eh, it's there, and you just don't deal with it. Like, you acknowledge it, and you kind of just work through it. And, like, a lot of people can't do that. Like, how do you, like... How do you work through it? Is it just like, is it conditioning from knowing that like there's nothing you can do about it and you just go? Because like I've known you for shit, 14, 15 years, and like you've always been like, I'll deal.
Because I really, I don't know, I just don't feel like it makes sense to really stress over things you can't change. If I can't change it, what am I making a big deal about it for?
Stephanie, what do you do when you get like,
so I used to internalize a lot, like just like suffer in silence and just go through it. I'm a big fan of like musical therapy, so I like to sit and like just listen to music and really think out what it is that I'm feeling at that moment. Like, why am I feeling this way? What can, you know, try to think out all of the steps that led me to where I am. And figure out like how can I turn this around. So it's really like a moment of like self reflection. So to speak, whether if I'm in the shower or just taking a few minutes like just to go in the bathroom and regroup or, you know, what have you. It's just really getting a few minutes just to be by myself, listen to some music and really think out what it is that's going on.
Carmen?
I kinda wanna piggyback on that. The importance of learning how to sit with your feelings is a really big challenge because sometimes people don't want to think about what they're feeling because sometimes it can be painful. However, if you don't understand yourself, then it's easier to stay in a rut. So really to, you know, do some self-reflection and really think about what am I feeling? You know, what may have happened over the past few days? What can I do right now to take care of myself? But the other piece is practicing self-compassion when you learn to become your own best friend. And so if your best friend came to you and say, hey, I'm having a really hard day, I'm depressed, I'm going through it, you would put your hand on your best friend's shoulder and say, you can get through this, you know, I'm here for you, I'm going to support you, I'm here to sit with you and just be with you. That's how you have to talk to yourself. Like, that is truly what self-compassion is offering yourself the same type of love and attention that you would offer to somebody else. So when I go through really hard times and I sit back and think about what am I feeling right now, sometimes I don't know what the hell it is. Sometimes nothing happened, but I might just be having a hormonal day and just really in a rut. And I'll say, Carmen, you're okay. Like, you're safe. You have everything you need. Everything is, your kids are safe. Everything is well. And just remind myself that I'm okay, and then I get some friggin' ice cream, like
French fries,
right? And I, and
I'm
like,
sorry, what now?
Yes, so yes. I like to dip French fries in my ice cream.
Me too.
Yes, however, girl. Like
my little sister does like French fries and like milkshakes. I was like, that's
it, yes,
that's too.
So good.
But also like telling yourself, reminding yourself, like you're human. It's okay to feel down. It's, you don't beat up on yourself. You say, okay, I'm not feeling too good right now. I'm just going to take this time and love on me. I'm going to lay in this TV, watch some Netflix. I'm going to eat some ice cream. I'm going to watch something really funny. And tomorrow the sun will shine again. Like, because I know what amazing days feel like, I'm not afraid of bad days.
What she said.
And there she goes.
See, I told you she was going to say it so much better. But yes, like that alone time to reflect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where you accept it, you do whatever,
right.
Move forward.
And listening to your body. Like your body might be telling you, sit your ass down for a minute. You're doing right. too much, mm-hmm. right? Like sometimes your body will shut down for you if you can't do it. And it's okay to listen to your body and say, you know what, I need a break. Like I'm shutting down. I'm overwhelming myself. I'm not taking care of myself. I'm going to take this time to just love on me.
And that's very important for me. I realized it after I had Taj, because it's like, as he grows older, he's mimicking every behavior that he sees.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm frustrated by something, I'm subconsciously walking around with this attitude and, you know, maybe handling things in an aggressive manner, but I'm not noticing it, but I notice that he's doing things aggressively now. And it's like, well, why are you being aggressive? And he's only being aggressive because he sees me being aggressive, yeah. So he thinks it's his normal. And I don't want him to do those things. So it's like I had to step back and do a vibe check. Like, why am I doing... Like, you know, I had to be more mindful of what I was doing and be more aware of what I was doing, how I was saying things, how I was moving, so that way I didn't pass that on to him.
Makes sense. Do you have anything else to add to the end of the Venom Squad?
That's all, folks. That's just it. Shit.
I wish I had a drop for that.
So I'm gonna
you need that.
Bunch of bitches. Right?
I lost
both.
I love still got the cat.
Yeah, she's a little bitch somewhere. She took off.
Jesus.
Sorry. You started sniffing. I was like, ah, shit.
Oh, shoot. Sorry.
Oh, the cat makes you. Oh.
Yeah, and we'll be right back.
All these rappers beefing online and then it be on site. But whatever happens, I'ma put it up on my blog site. Somebody doesn't know offer condolences, even though I was the main one promoting it. Soon as we over it, looking for two more to keep on exploiting it for. We'll take the briefs off of bottoms and take a bullet to the back. Meaning we'll strip down to get shot down to be celebrities. In fact, all this sensationalism, just a new model for business. We got these bottles of attention and pass them off as a prescription. Because validation, admiration, that's the latest drug of choice, a new addiction. I'm the vice, you the vice, we the vice, so who provides the intervention? Peddlers pushing dope, and the pimps is pushing sex. Press a button on your phone, watch you get caught up in that, caught up in that.
And we're back. I'm gonna try to end this show before Carmen dies. So, I'll be professional for once.
Why?
As I crack a beer directly into the microphone. I'll start around the room. And I'll start with my lovely life.
Listen, I have been up for almost 24 hours.
Mm.
Like, legit, I went into work. Mm. I got up, what, 9:30 yesterday, 9:30 p.m. Mm. yesterday.
Tell them why you're mad.
I worked last night, and then I went to school, and then now I'm still awake doing laundry. Shut up. I'm just saying, why do you gotta go to me first? I can't even think straight right now. All the brain cells, they're gone. They've gone. They've fluttered. What's your question?
I think he just wanted you to say your name.
Oh, hey.
What did you want from her, Mark?
You just made the list!
He's got to press all the buttons now.
Yeah, I do. So...
literally.
What word offends you?
The only word that... if somebody called me a cunt, that's like, I'm stabbing you in the face.
Okay. Amanda, what word offends you?
It would depend how it's being said. Because you can say a word one way and it not be offensive and say it another way and it is.
Can you... okay, I can't believe I'm saying this. If you're having sex and someone calls you cunt in a sexy way, would you be upset with it?
No.
No, right? There's no sexy way to say cunt.
Maybe cunt.
Cunt is it.
Yeah.
It's just dirty.
Yeah, I think it's just, there's no positive way of calling
no.
it cunt.
You can be like, hey, that's my cunt. Bitch. Right. But you can't be like, that's my cunt over there. Right? That's fighting words.
I call one of my male friends, like, that's my cunt over there, dog. Like, you know what I mean?
No.
Don't even sound
like that.
Right?
I really don't. I've heard that pornos when it's not sex. Anyway.
No.
Stephanie, is there a word, the same thing with you, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Carmen,
really
same thing?
Anything.
I don't have any words that offend me.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I'm not an offensive person.
So,
no.
Question.
I'm usually offended. Like, I don't know
Oh, every woman, every woman in here, I'm pretty sure.
Obviously, the one defending somebody.
I probably
sexually harassed
somebody called me a cunt because that's one of my favorite words.
What?
I think I would.
The word cunt.
Somebody called me a cunt because I would. That's one of my favorite words.
Well, you don't. You know I love that word.
It is.
You are what you eat. So anyway.
Oh my god.
So anyway, how do you ladies feel about the word bitch?
So that's the word that it depends on. Like, a man can never call me a bitch. Ever.
I think that word's more offensive than cunt, by the way.
So, again, a man can never call me a bitch. Ever. Not in a friendly way. Not nothing. Like, don't even let it come out. Don't even make it be like, oh, well, you're acting like a bitch. Don't even put the word in a sentence when you're speaking to me if you are a man. Now, for women, it depends. Because I'd be like, yo, that's my bitch. You know? That's one way. But if a female is like, that bitch, then it's different. Now it's personal. Nice. So it depends on how a female is saying it. Get it?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm guessing everyone here agrees with that sentiment?
It's just the word. It means nothing to me.
So.
I like bitches. See? Because that would be like, bitch, that's why. So you know she about to say something.
Bitch. Like, oh, that's a bunch of bitches. Like, I really like saying a bunch of bitches.
That's her word.
Before I get into this, have you guys ever heard Jay-Z's song, Bitches and Sisters? So he has a song, and it goes, before he starts the verse, he goes, say Jay-Z, why you gotta disrespect the women for, huh? He goes, and I quote, sisters get respect, bitches get what they deserve. Sisters work hard, bitches work your nerve. Sisters hold you down, bitches hold you up. Sisters help you progress, bitches slow you up. Sisters cook a meal, play the role with the kids. Bitches in the street with your nose in their biz. With their nose in your biz. Sisters tell the truth, bitches tell lies. Sisters drive cars, bitches wanna ride. Sisters get off the ass, bitches get off the ass. Sisters do it slow, bitches do it fast. Sisters do their dirt outside of where you live. Bitches have niggas all up in your crib. Sisters tell you quick, you better check your homies. Bitches don't give a fuck, they wanna check for your homie.
Also, bitches are cornballs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's what it sounds like.
Like, oh, all right.
God, I wish I could make
it. It's not a nice show.
God, I wish I could make
it. Bitches are cornballs.
I wish I could make that.
Gotcha.
Show, but I can't.
No.
So,
way.
Apparently, I'll just read the title of the article. Blah, 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 blah. Proposed law to make the B word illegal in Massachusetts.
What?
So I feel like there's other words that they can make illegal in
Massachusetts. Like nigger?
Like nigger.
Right.
That was the first thing Amanda said.
That
right
was the
there.
When I read it on Twitter the other day, I was pissed. I was like, this shit. No, I'm lying. It wasn't on Twitter that I read it. It was in my car, and it was on the radio on Jam 94.5, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I had to Google it first to make sure, like, they just weren't talking out their asses. So I Googled it, and I had to tweet, and I was like, how are we trying to make the word bitch illegal, but not the word nigger? Like, where...
Where we live?
This is America with the three kids.
No, this is fucking...
Like, are you kidding me? There's so many other words. Like, I hope no one takes this offensive, but when they call gay people...
Damn it, Wade!
Like, you can't find a better word? Like, there's so many other things that can be made illegal besides the word bitch.
What is the logic behind it?
Well, I'll read it right now.
Little angry white man.
A Boston Democrat has proposed a state law that would penalize the use of the B word, for those that's bitch, when used to demean another person. You call a dude a bitch, he's not. Never mind.
But you know, now that part right
what
there.
The dude who wrote this is a bitch.
Yeah. See, that part alone right there now plays into this whole overly sensitive thing that society has going on. So I could be having a conversation with you and like, yeah, you know that bitch and blah, 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 blah. And somebody walks by like, oh, it was just offensively. I'm calling the police. Like, don't be, what's the lady who called the police on the people in the park?
Yeah. Barbecue Becky.
Yeah, so yeah. Now you're going to be barbecue Becky and me because I'm having a conversation with my friend and I said the word, you overheard
what's
it.
What's a dude's name? Bitch word Bill?
Like, come on, like, don't...
It's just another way to control people. It's just another
way
to... Yeah,
like, mind your fucking business. Like,
undermine
you...
people. Like,
well, when I use it, it's only being used to be offensive. I don't use it in any positive way.
Yeah, when I'm calling... And it's funny, Maria will tell you this. Like, I don't like... The word bitch to a woman is... it makes me cringe the way people hear the word cunt. And like
I don't like using it unless I'm cussing you.
Yeah, and usually I'm just telling a dude, like, dude, stop acting like a bitch, man. Like,
right, you know, when I use it, it's definitely not positive. So I call you a bitch.
So the bill filed by State Representative Dan Hunt, a dude, his name is cunt, in May, is slated to go before the Joint Committee Tuesday afternoon, whenever this was. The measure proposes adding two sentences to the section of the law that assigns fines and penalties for various offenses, such as crimes for common night walkers, incident exposures, and disturbing of the peace. A person used the B word, this is a quote from Bill Cunt. A person who used the word bitch directed another person to accost, annoy, degrade, or demean the other person shall be considered to be disorderly. Shall be considered to be a disorderly person in violation of this section.
But not
better?
No.
Right.
But also, like, in a negative derogatory. So if I walk up to Amanda and I'm like, hey, what's up, bitch?
Fine!
No! Because I didn't say it in a negative derogatory way. I'm saying, like, what's good?
But if she slaps you.
And I wasn't talking to whoever overheard.
But then
call and take offense. I'm not.
Like, who decides?
Like, exactly.
Who decides that what you were doing was negative or violent or. Because like we said, like, a lot of people use the term bitch, like, my bitches.
The only people this law will affect is people of color.
And, like,
at the end of the day. And, like I said, it's just another tool to control you, to keep you down. It's just another tool. That's how I see it. Is my eye swelling?
It's close to the time you gotta go anyway, so we can end this right now. Alright, that's been the Old Man Wait Show. We're gonna stop before
Carmen dies.
Anybody got EpiPen?
You bought tissue.
You want some phonies? Like, I don't know.
Anything. Like, we got a ton of that shit in the fucking cabinet.
You can have a whole brand new one.
Stephanie, tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram, Venomously Me, or follow my page, Venom's Corner.
Spell Venom, please.
VYNOM.
It was funny.
He's playing some music for you.
Oh, and a flush. Look at that. I can't.
Sorry.
I got that Al Bundy flush.
I can't.
Carmen, where can they find you?
HealWithCarmenB.com.
Spell that out for the people, for the listeners.
Heal, H-E-A-L, Carmen, CARMENB.com. Go on, subscribe, and stay tuned for all the great healing stuff I have coming.
Do you have an IG?
Heal with Carmen B. IG and Facebook, Healthy Energy, Actively Living.
The CEO of PandaCare, where can they find you?
Nowhere, no sir.
Sweet Christmas woman.
PandaCare for you, the number 4, the letter U on Instagram, and I think Facebook is just PandaCare.
Well, it's all one word, Panda Care.
Yeah, it's all one. Capital P, capital C.
Yeah, so they can find you on that. Do you have any available spots? I know you've been, like booked and busy.
I'm full.
Which is...
Woo! That's a great problem to have.
It is. The daycare is full. The transportation is full. We're full.
See, I was going to make a joke, and you said, like, I'm like, I can't make the joke now, because you're like, I'm full. I'm like, I can't make the joke now.
No, you can't. You'd be a wanker to do that.
A wanker. I can't wait till wanker's fucking offensive. You wanker? Yes, I am a wanker. Fucking cunt.
I thought he said, I am a wanker. I mean, drinking. I'm a little delusional, hungry. That's what I heard. I am a white girl.
I hope not. Yeah. Is that the inner old man? Are you secretly clutching a pumpkin spice latte?
You made a picture.
You did make me buy you those stretchy pants.
you said cancel this version of ladies' life.
And you do love those zip-up vest things. Oh my God, Mark.
Your wife is telling all your secrets.
She said, you a little white bitch.
Mark, you see, I'm not going to... I'm
just trying to stay alive. Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Stop it. You're delirious over there anyway.
Why is she serious?
You can't even breathe.
Do you still love that?
I mean, you started it.
Mark, I'm on your side. You have an ally in me.
Are you waiting for Stephanie to stop laughing?
Yes. Just like a plate of drive and goes.
I'm trash. I can't say that.
All right, man. This has been the Old Man Way Show. Don't forget to visit oldmanwade.com, OldManWade.com. You can find me at oldmanwade.com. That's Old Man Wade with the COM at the end. Don't forget to visit the Facebook page, Old Man Wade Show. Same thing, Instagram, oldmanwade.com. You can find us there. Until then, don't say the B word because everyone's a...
Damn it, Wade!